as we're privileged again to visit with you by means of radio. We trust you'll listen to the Word of God, because one day soon you're going to have to stand before Him. So you need to be acquainted with what to expect or know what's coming at the end of the line as far as this life is concerned. I'd just like to speak to you of the Word of God. I love the Word. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, called of God to preach the Word of God. I enjoy, and I trust that you'll listen to it, that you might learn some of the wisdom of God. In the 26th chapter of Proverbs, and verse 27 and 28, who diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it will return unto him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and flattering mouth worketh ruin. There's an old saying going around. You hear it every day, I'm sure. What goes around comes around. So, beloved, you should be aware that whatever you do against anyone else, it's coming home to you. May take it a few days to get there, but it's coming home. I just wanted to read that, let you know that God has advised how we should conduct ourselves, that our life might be enjoyed here. Would you bow your head? Excuse me, your head with me for a moment of prayer. Our Father, O gracious God, we come again in Thy divine presence by means of prayer, because we're told to come, and I'm now before Thee, asking that You direct the reading of Your Word to some heart, to some precious soul, if it could please Thee. Many out there, Heavenly Father, are listening to our voice that are not saved, I'm sure. They may be real fine folk, but they don't know what a work of grace is. They don't know what it is to be called to repentance, nor what it is to be graced with grace that they might repent. Oh, praise God, and know the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those that are less fortunate. As Thy will to be done, Heavenly Father, not ours. All the glory and praise laid at Thy feet, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now I'm reading in the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. Read about three or four verses, and then I want to go and read some more over in the 16th chapter of Matthew. I want to talk to you a little bit about the effectual call of God. And Jesus, verse 18, in Matthew 4, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. For he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, that is, immediately, left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee's father, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. I find the first thing that Paul introduces in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 1, that he is a servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle. I also find in the first chapter of the book of Corinthians, chapter 1, and verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle. Now, if you are born of the Spirit of God, you've been called of God, You know what it is to repent. You know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. He's called you for a divine purpose. Purpose number one, and I'll leave that with you and travel on. He's called you to be a saint. Are you listening? People are talking about being a Christian. They might be a church goer on Sunday, but they live like hell all the week. Are you listening to me? Blaspheming God's holy name, all manner of filthy junk jokes on their tongue, and everything that you can think of spewing from the heart. And that's where all that you see and hear, the ungodliness and everything, comes from. But we've been talking about the effectual call. And over in first chapter of 1 Corinthians, we brought that to your mind last Lord's Day about calling. He says, not many mighty, not many great men like Herod or Caesar or Napoleon or some president or some ruler of a country, not many are them ever called. I don't believe they're called to salvation, much less to spread the gospel. But if it be God's good pleasure to do that, praise His holy name for it. We talk about this man Peter over in the 16th chapter. As you heard me read, the Lord came along and He said, "Fellas, follow me." Immediately they dropped their needle that you mend your net with. I don't know whether you've ever seen fishermen with their net spread out or not, and them mending them with a needle. I have. And it's something to see if those fellows fix those holes that fish tear in the net when they get the wrong kind in there. But listen to these words, if you will, please. Over in the 16th chapter, verse 13, Jesus again. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say Thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, that's Jesus speaking, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter, now I just read where he came by the net, and Simon Peter was a fisherman. Well, now this in no way or wise am I speaking, is it speaking it in a derogatory sense. But in the state of Florida, back in the 1920s, when I was there for a couple of years, those fishermen there, they cared nothing about Sunday. Where I was at, they didn't. And I was at a little fishing town. They never dressed up. They never spoke good English. All they were interested in was when the tide's going to be right and my fish nets are ready and my boat, the engine has gasoline and I'm ready to go. And we do know that the Bible speaks of them being ignorant. Peter and John and them is called from fishing. I'm not critical now. I'm just advising you something. How God, in His good pleasure, called those men that hadn't paid any attention to anything but fishing. So Jesus is asking Peter about it. And Peter answered him and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The thought came to me as I read that verse again, over and over this past week, how that flesh and blood is teaching flesh and blood. And we have a great number with much hid knowledge of the Scripture. But they cannot, or they refuse to, they do not know or something, to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. Almighty God is sovereign. You cannot make one hair white or black. And you cannot, a cat cannot lick its spots off his skin. You're totally depraved, blind to the truth, and cannot in any wise approach God other than as a sinner and ask him to have mercy. And God must call. That's the reason he sends us out, heralding the truth of God. That you might hear. And you can't hear unless he opens that spiritual ear. Are you listening? It is closed to the truth of God. It must be open. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm quoting or telling you what Jesus said. Jesus said their ears were stopped up. Unless I open their ears, they cannot hear. He said their eyes were blinded. Unless I open their eyes, they cannot see the truth. Now you listen to this old man. Because I'd rather pass on right now than to misrepresent or tell you something contrary to the Word of God. And Jesus Christ did say that. And what he said is truth. He says, I am the truth. My word is truth. So we need to listen. Simon Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, I say unto thee, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you now, you will never know the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father unless there is a revelation in the inner man, the man that never dies, the soul that'll be tormented in hell or rejoicing in heaven. Are you listening to me? I want you to know the truth. I want you to enjoy the truth of God. Jesus said, unless my Father reveal them, over in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, let me read a verse or two of Scripture. In the 7th chapter, and the 21st verse, I believe it is. I'll find it in a minute. No, that's where it says, not everyone that saith, Lord, unto me shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Anyway, no man will ever see or hear unless God is pleased to bring him to that point, because he is totally depraved of any spiritual truth that would cause him to turn from his wicked ways and call on God. Are you listening to me? Okay. Now this man Peter, where you heard me read, he was called from the fish nets to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now after he had followed him, his teaching, saw the miracles and everything else, God had revealed who Christ was to him. I just don't know exactly how he revealed himself to Peter, but he did. Jesus said he did. And this man, Peter, was in his school for 3 years plus, or take a day or two. And when the time comes for Jesus to be crucified, he denies the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Almighty God revealed unto Peter who he was. Are you listening? Amen. That's exactly right. That's the very reason that Peter was so bold in his preaching. Over in Matthew chapter 11, I think it came to the scripture that I wanted to read to you. In chapter 11, and verse 25. Jesus speaking, if you please. All things, not a portion of them, A-double-L, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son, I'm giving you the Word of God, but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom soever the Son will reveal him. Now, many pastors today, discouraged, downhearted, ready to quit, and many are, because of those that they once thought were saved, converted, no longer attend their church. Neither do they go anywhere else. They're on the beach today, or they're down on the river today, or they're out at the racetrack today. Those things are more attractive to them than the blessed Son of God and His precious Word. They no longer have an appetite for the righteousness. Don't hunger for the righteousness of God. No, sir. Somewhere else. From church to church, I've been around quite a bit in my years, and the only ones I can see that are filled is where they have an entertainment program. And as they're entertained by special music or singing, they always applaud them. And I'm bothered. What is that applaud for, or about, or to whom? Are you listening? Be still and know that I am God. This mad hell determined to go to generation is in second gear or high speed, where they don't have time to hear the Word of God. Be still and know that I am God. No wonder Peter was so bold in his preaching. Let me go now back to the verse of Scripture in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, and verse 10. Read it to you. I don't want you to think that I'm making up anything, because I don't believe that. In verse 10, wherefore the matter, brethren, give diligence. Give diligence. You ought to look that up in Webster's Dictionary, that word. To make your calling and election sure. Excuse me. In the verse 10 there, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Be sure that you're going to church regular. Doesn't say that. That's not what it means. Be sure that you're giving your tithe. That's not what it means. It means be sure your relationship with Jesus Christ is right. Be sure your relationship with God is right. Then you come over there. He said, and make your election sure. Does that bother you, preacher? Election bother you? Well, get down on your knees and ask God to reveal something to you. Ask Him, when did He elect the people that will make up Jesus' body in heaven? Here on earth too. Where He'll stand in the midst of them in heaven and call them brethren, not being ashamed of us. Are you listening? God help you, men and women, that deny the sovereignty of God, that deny the depravity of the human being, that deny the foreknowledge of God, on and on. But let me get back to this verse. Make your calling and election sure. Why? Because, listen to it now, because if you fail to make that sure, that word is a little better understood when you look at it in this light. Confirmed. Make your election and calling sure. If you're not sure, are you interested in making it sure? Huh? Well, God says, call on me. Call and I'll answer. Knock and I'll make an entrance. No one's calling on God today. No one wants to be under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. No one wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me put it like it was the day of Pentecost. I was reading a man's writing back in the 1800s this past week. And he had this to say. He said, if we had a Pentecostal experience, that was where the 120 was up in the room waiting on the promise of God. He promised the Holy Ghost. He said he'll come. And he did come. And this man said, if we had a Pentecost every day, it would take 1,370 years to convert the unconverted that are living. I suppose he meant at his time, which was about 125 years ago, and said it would take 40 centuries working 40 people, 40 centuries with 120,000 people a day would be required to convert those that were living then. Beloved, men are going to hell from the church pew. And the love stories that's being told it would be that God could be pleased to call one of his lost sheep. But when John the Baptist came on the scene, he came on the scene preaching repentance. When Jesus began his ministry, he began his ministry preaching repentance. And I hear this same man, Peter, standing up after the Holy Ghost had come at Pentecost and telling them that were interested to repent. You stand convicted in a church closing service when they're singing, "Just as I am without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to thee." Well, God don't want you to come just walk up there and shake the preacher's hand and maybe have a little prayer said over you. God says, repent. And I find one man in the Bible seeking repentance with tears, and he didn't find it. And I heard this preacher last night said God loved everybody, and the Bible plainly tells you, the man I'm talking about, Esau, God hated that man. That's what the Bible says. And it also says God hates all workers of iniquity. Now, you can throw that out the back door if you want to. Or you can say something to me, I ought to learn a little more. Well, I'm learning the Bible. Are you listening? God will have to be his children that here that was chosen before the foundation of this whole world. Are you listening? I don't like that preacher. I like to give an invitation, sing a song or two, and get them down to the altar. Well, I've seen them at the altar. I wonder about some of those that came under my early ministry. It don't come now. I know a few in the last, I'll say the last 25 years, I think about two or three has been truly converted. I don't know, but I do know two. The evidence is still present with them as they manifest that they are a child of God in their daily walk and in their speech. Their manner of life testifies to that. So, beloved, be, as Peter advised, be sure, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Now, people say, well, I come to the Lord. Well, and then you preach to them election, or they go off the rocker. They get mad. They'll criticize. They'll find fault. That's an evidence that they were not elected by the grace of God. Election flows from the grace of God because it is a favor of God save you or call you and save you by the foolishness of preaching. God be with you till we meet again.